When we learn through the earlier parshios in the Torah, we often encounter very black and white figures. Avraham was a tzaddik, so were Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Shvatim. Of course, on the other side, Avimelech, Paro, Lavan, Potiphar were all terrible Rishayim. Very easy to put someone in category A or category B. The Torah seems to read like a popular movie with villains and heroes, where it's so clear to us who we should be rooting for and who we should be rooting against. This week's parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, however, presents us with one of the most enigmatic personalities in all of Tanakh. Lot is one tough nut to crack. Here is a man who faithfully follows his uncle without being asked to do so, withstood the test of the famine in Eretz Yisrael alongside Avram, his uncle, and that was no small test. Can you imagine the Mesiris Nefesh that it took for Avram Avinu to listen to the Ribbono Shalom, to uproot his entire family, and go to Eretz Yisrael, uproot his wife, and his nephew comes along with him for the journey and goes to Eretz Yisrael, and then they get there and there's a famine? And Lot doesn't question anything at that time. Lot follows right along with Avram Avinu, follows him to Mitzrayim, and when he's in Mitzrayim, he doesn't reveal Sarah's true identity to Paro. And that too was a Nisayon, because after all, he was risking his own life by not revealing who Sarah was. In short, he's like a brother to Avram Avinu, and in fact, in Avram Avinu's own words, Ki anashim achim anachnu, we are brothers. Yet, that same character, this same tzaddik that we just described, is deemed too great a rasha to remain by Avram's side. As Chazal tell us, Kol zman shaharasha imo haya hadibur parish mimenu. So long as the rasha was with him, referring to Lot, the Ribbono Shalom didn't speak directly to Avram Avinu. It's only after Lot left Avram's side that the Ribbono Shalom comes and promises Avram Avinu that his children are going to be like the stars of the sky, and he promises him all the success. Additionally, Lot is enticed by the trappings of Sodom to the extent that Chazal believe that the sexual immorality of Sodom is what really enticed Lot to come. What are we to make of such a figure, of a person who on the one hand seems like such a great tzaddik, yet on the other hand seems like a terrible rasha and is in fact labeled as such by Chazal? Secondly, the Medrash expounds the pasuk in Mishlei, L'tava yavakesh nifrad, ze lot shenifrad me'avram, v'chol toshia yiskala, sheniskala klon ubebati knesios, ubebati midrashos. Amr Rab Tanchuma bar Rab Chiyah mishum Rab Hoshia turgamna, ein kol Shabbos v'Shabbos shein kornba parshaso shel Lot. Tells us that Lot separated from Avram Avinu, and it's incredibly humiliating to him. And in fact, we publicize his humiliation in our Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. And then the Medrash concludes that there isn't a single Shabbos that goes by where we don't read the Parsha of Lot. And the Medrash seems to be woefully inaccurate. We never read about the embarrassment of Lot other than this week's Parsha and next week's Parsha. Some of Farshim grew so frustrated by this question in the text of the Medrash that they saw no alternative other than to change the text of the Medrash to Bekal Shana Vishana, not Bekal Shabbos to Shabbos, that each and every week, but Bekal Shana Vishana, each and every year, we read about the embarrassment and the humiliation of Lot, that here he had it, he had the opportunity to be with Avram Avinu, and he separated himself. On a more basic level, it's most perplexing to figure out why Avram Avinu gave up on Lot so easily. Avram obviously had a unique talent to effect real change in people. Hanefesh Hasharasa B'charan. He really changed people's lives. He was able to take people who had no connection with the idea of monotheism, who had no connection with the idea of a Ribbono Shel Olam, and he was able to bring them in. And those people came with him also. He single-handedly caused thousands to recognize God. So how could it be that a mechanich of his caliber was unable to influence his own nephew? Not just his own nephew, but a nephew who he was so close with. His own nephew Lot, in a way that perhaps at least would allow them to be able to coexist, to live together. He has to give up on him. It seems so counterintuitive that Avram Avinu would give up on anybody. So again, three questions. First of all, what do we make of Lot in general? On the one hand, he seems like a very great tzaddik for a number of things he does in his life. And on the other hand, he seems like a very great rasha. Second question, what exactly does the Medrash mean when it says that we read about the humiliation and the embarrassment of Lot every single Shabbos in our Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos? And finally, the third question, how could it be that Avraham Avinu, who connected to so many, was so easily able to give up on someone like Lot? So the answer to all of these questions, Rav Shimon Schwab Zichrono Livracha, suggests, lies in understanding a single pasuk in the narrative. Vayikchu es Lot ve'es rechusho ben achi Avram vayelchu v'hu yoshev b'stom. The Torah says, Avraham Avinu took Lot and his money, the nephew of Avram, not Avraham Avinu, when Lot was captured, Lot and his money, the nephew of Avraham, vayelchu v'hu yoshev b'stom. Shouldn't the Torah have said, vayikchu es Lot ben achi Avram ves rechusho vayelechu? Shouldn't it have said that they took Lot, who was the nephew of Avram, and his money, and they went? Certainly, if someone were describing me, they would describe Aryeh Leibowitz, the son of Mr. and Mrs. Leibowitz, and his possessions. Why would you describe the possessions before you describe the relationship to the person? First say who Lot is, the nephew of Avram, then tell us about his fortune. With the shifting of these few words, Rav Schwab explains, the Torah reveals to us Lot's fatal flaw. He loved Avram very much, and he really, really meant well. But there's one thing that kept on getting in between Lot and the influence that Avram had to offer. Ve'es rechusho, his money. There was no higher priority than his money. We all have certain demons that we struggle with, and we constantly work to overcome them and make the right choices in life. That's natural. Some people, though, become so obsessed, they become obsessed to such a great degree with money, that they lose touch with reality and they can no longer appreciate that which has true value. An obsession with money is not only a sin in and of itself, but it's a gateway toward much greater sins. The pasuk tells us that Lot chose Sodom because Vayisa Lot Tesenav, he lifted up his eyes, Vayaris Eskol Kikar Yarden, Kichulo Mishka Kikan Hashem, he saw that there was this area that was literally like the garden of Hashem. He saw beautiful and luxurious surroundings. Yet Chazal understands somewhat cynically, Al Shahayu Shtufezima Bachar Lot Bishchunasam. You know why Lot really wanted to go to Sodom? Because there was a lot of znus there. There was sexual immorality. That's what really enticed him. Where did Chazal see the desire for znus? In what the pasuk clearly describes was the desire for money. Nothing to do with znus. Chazal, with their insight, with their penetrating insight, understood that what seems like a desire for and an obsession with money, in reality masks a desire for complete self-indulgence on all levels, including znus. Lot may not have even realized it himself, but we can so plainly see it in the development of the story. Eventually, znus becomes so acceptable to Lot that when confronted with a little bit of pressure, he gives his daughters away and says, here, go and sleep with them. And what does he do at the end of the story? He sleeps with his own daughters. There are no limits to the immorality. Obviously, it plays out in a way that Chazal saw where it was going, and obviously they saw the end of the story, and they saw where it was destined to go from in the first place. That when one is obsessed with money, it's likely a symptom of a larger obsession with total self-indulgence, which ultimately would lead to znus with no barriers, with no borders. Somebody who overvalues money is likely to lose the capacity for normal reasoning and prioritizing the values. We find that when Lot was leaving Sodom, the Torah tells us, Vayismamea, he delayed, he tarried. Now, what would cause somebody to delay fleeing from imminent doom, from literally a natural disaster of epic proportions? So Rashi on the spot answers that for Lot, there's only one reason to delay. Kidei lahatzil mamono, to save his money. Not even his own life is valued as being greater than his money. Nothing can get between him and his money. And he was willing, he thought he might be willing, to go back and face certain death, as long as he'd have the opportunity to be with his money for a few more seconds. Now we can understand the frustration of Avraham Avinu when dealing with Lot. Avram could reach anybody's neshama and bring them closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But there's one thing that he needs. There's only one ingredient that he needs to work with the person. He needs the person. He needs the person to be open-minded, to be real, to open themselves up to ideas. Lot could not do that. When you're talking to Lot, you were never actually talking to Lot. You were talking to Lot ve'es rechusho. The two were inseparable. It was Lot and his money. And every decision had to be filtered through, what does this do to my bottom line? They were inseparable and no other goal can take precedence. And that was Lot's flaw. He simply couldn't overcome it, no matter how well-meaning a person he was in other areas of his life. And yes, we do see Lot's story all the time. It's a very sad and tragic story. Somebody recently told me that they asked their boss to leave work a couple of hours early one night, a couple of hours earlier than usual, because it was their wife's birthday. It was a major birthday, a 30th birthday or something. And he wanted to take her out for dinner on her birthday. The boss's response, I haven't taken my wife out for dinner on her birthday in 20 years. Nothing, not family, not friends, and certainly not the Ribbono Shel Olam, will get between a man and his money. When we ask young people what they want to do with their lives, the response is always about how they plan on making money. It's part of the fabric of the culture that we live in. Of course, if the job that they do and the money that they make are our only goals in life, then life is over at a very young age. Life is over at retirement. How sad. That's in fact what the Mishnah says at the end of Kiddushin. That's why the learning of Torah is the most is the highest goal. Because it's something that even when a person is old, it doesn't leave him, it doesn't abandon a person. When one is dedicated to religious life, when one is dedicated to being a Ben Torah, to being a Bas Torah, that will never abandon them. The money might, but that will never abandon them. And this, Rav Schwab explains, al derech drush, may be the meaning of that medrash. We read Lot's story every single week. People come to shul and they seem to have a great deal of spiritual yearning and so much potential to accomplish in a religious setting, to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they get into the tefillos and into the shiurim and into the learning. But then as Shabbos leaves us, they can't allow themselves an ounce of kedusha to permeate their neshamos and to allow it to carry through the week, because they're too busy earning a living. They're too busy being obsessed with what they do from the 9 to 5, or most often from 9 to 9, or 9 to 10, or 9 to 11 at night. And indeed, Ein Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, Shein Kordoba Parshas Shalot. Not a single Shabbos goes by where we don't see the sad and tragic story of Lot. Lot was saved from Sodom according to Chazal because he did not tell Paro about Sarah's true identity. Is that really the greatest merit we can find for Lot? What about the fact that he risked his life to host guests who came to Sodom? Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldberg, Zichron Levrach, explained that each person has their own Nekudas HaBechira. What may be a difficult challenge for some is easy for many others. The greatest reward a person receives is when he's able to overcome his personal challenge. For Lot, hosting guests was part of what he was brought up with. It came as second nature. It wasn't a challenge to him at all. However, considering his yearning for money and the amount of money he could have made by just telling Paro about Sarah, surely Paro would have rewarded him. The challenge of not doing that was so much greater, something that for most of us we would never dream of. Why would we tell on somebody who we love and who's so important to us in our lives? And why would we risk their lives? Of course we wouldn't do it. But for Lot, it's a different way of thinking. It's an opportunity for money. That was his greatest challenge in life. And that's why when he was able to overcome that, that's his greatest schar. The irony of all of this, of course, the whole story of Lot, is that Lot was not the richest man of his time. In fact, Avraham was. Avraham was much richer than Lot. Yet how does the Torah describe Avraham's wealth to us? V'Avram kaved ma'od b'mikneh b'kesef v'zahav. Yeah, the wealth is there, but it's described as a burden, as something Avram has to bear. Not that hayalo kesef, he had money, but that it weighed on him. Wealth isn't a luxury, it's a responsibility, like any gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's always a responsibility. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us brains, it's a responsibility to use them properly. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us talents, it's a responsibility to use those talents in his service. Shlomo HaMelech declares in Mishlei, Rush v'oshal titein li, don't give me poverty or wealth. Well, we understand why he doesn't want poverty, but why not wealth? Because when money plays a significant role in our lives, it's just too easy to lose perspective. It's simply too difficult to use wealth properly. It's a challenge that many are not able to overcome. It's a heavy burden to bear. And it's something that perhaps if the story of Lot can teach us anything, it's about keeping our perspectives in order, keeping our priorities in order, and understanding how an Avram Avinu can be successful materially, and success, but so much, but what's he remembered for? Not for his material success, but for his religious success, for his inspiration for thousands of years of Jews who followed him. That's what an Avram Avinu does. And that's why Avram Avinu was such an incredible leader. While Lot was sitting there all alone in Sodom, hoping to be able to host a couple of guests, and facing this tragic ending where he sort of has to ride on his uncle's coattails because he doesn't have anything to make for himself. Someone who becomes, who sets his priorities in the wrong order, can so easily allow it to slip, where they go down a path where it's going to be so difficult to overcome and to come back to become, to fulfill the potential of one who can become an Avram Avinu.